Be counting the Omer, and a reminder, we have the sheets in the foyer there if you'd like to get our copies. And what we do is we have suggesting the counting of the Omer, and actually with each week we have a suggested prayer, just a brief prayer to pray about a specific thing. So let's count it. This will be our first time that we're counting, because we started the counting last Sunday. So let's have our blessing. We'll number the day, and then we'll just pray briefly for a minute about our suggested prayer. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech olam asher kidshanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivonu al seferat ha'omer. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sanctified us by his commandments and commanded us about the counting of the Omer. And so today is day number 7 in our first week, at the end of the week. Day number 7 of the counting of the Omer. And our suggested prayer for this entire week, and of course tomorrow starts a new week, but today is we are to pray for personal union with Messiah Yeshua. So just allow me to do this before I get to my message this morning. So Lord, I do pray this morning that we would all have this perfect union with Messiah Yeshua, that we would connect each and every day, just connect a little bit more with our Messiah, that we each day we bring to our mind and to our hearts the wonderful things that we have in our life because of what Yeshua did for us and how he died and he bled for us. And so we pray that each day would be a wonderful connection, a wonderful union with our Messiah each and every day. My prayer goes out to our friends and our family that do not know Messiah in their lives. Maybe they don't even know God in their lives. My prayer is right now, just to intercede this morning, that our friends and our families that do not know the truth of their salvation would one day soon and speedily come to the understanding and the knowledge, the heart knowledge of who their Messiah is. And we pray this in the name of our Messiah, Yeshua. This morning, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. This morning, let's go to a verse in our Torah portion this morning, Exodus 34:1. This morning is going to be sort of a little bit of a show and tell message this morning, just to mix things up a little bit. And so it says, and the Lord said to Moses, cut 2 tablets of stone like the first ones, and I will write on these tablets the words that were on the first tablets which you broke. So let's look at this scenario a little bit here. Our Torah portion this morning, it begins right after the building and the creation of Israel's major sin. They weren't waiting for God's timing. They weren't waiting on God's timing when Moses went up Mount Sinai to receive the word of the Lord. And so they built or created the golden calf. And then they started worshiping the golden calf. It wasn't bad enough that they just created the things and they looked at it, but they worshiped it. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai to present the Ten Commandments to the people, and he finds that they're wildly dancing around this golden calf and they're worshiping this idol. And so in anger and in rage, Moses throws down the tablets and they break. And then he rebukes the people for what they have done. And he points out their sin to them. And then what he does is he pleads to God that God would forgive them of their sin and allow them to live. this is a good sign of a good leader. Because a good leader is to speak honestly to the sheep. A good leader, when rebuking needs to be rebuked, they are rebuked. When words have to be said to help the person get in line in their life, they have to be said. But a good leader will still and continue love the sheep. See, and so this is what Moses did, the sign of a good leader. And so what we read this morning is that God is showing his grace and mercy to allow Moses, not just to allow the people to live, this was a serious sin, but not just to allow them to live, but he allows Moses to come back up to Mount Sinai and allow them to cut two more tablets, as it says, and then God actually etched the words into the stone. And so he allowed Israel to have another set of those commandments that he knew that they needed to continue living a good life with the Lord. This is grace and mercy. Abundant grace and mercy was displayed by God. You know, I hear too often, I know many of you have heard this, people say, well, you know, the Old Testament was God's law, and the New Testament is full of grace and mercy from the Messiah. So what they're doing is they're saying, almost as if the Old Testament has laws and regulations, and it's harsh, but the New Testament, praise God, is all full of love. Nothing but love. And that is not even near the truth. The truth is, the Tanakh, the Old Testament, is full of grace and mercy and laws and regulations, but the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, is full of grace and mercy, and it's filled with rules and regulations that we are to live by. And so there isn't this great separation in the two books, because then people will go one step further and say, the God of the Old Testament is not the same as the God of the New Testament. And these things are wrong, and these things, actually, they can cause a lot of problems in people's lives. So why do I say this? Why is it true that grace and mercy and laws and regulations are both in the Old and New Testament? It's a simple answer. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was the same 6,000 years ago at creation. God is the same 2,000 years ago with Messiah Yeshua. God was the same 3,000 plus years before with the children of Israel coming out of into the wilderness, out of Egypt. And God is the same today. He is the same God. And so he's the same God that displays when rebuking needs to be rebuked, when laws and regulations need to be presented to us, but he is a God of love, and he is a God of grace, and he is a God of mercy. He never changes. And he says, I never change. And he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So 2 weeks ago, of course, we didn't have Shabbat services here last Saturday because we had our Friday night Seder, and that was, we used that as our Friday night, as our Erev Shabbat service. And so 2 weeks ago, my message, actually, I talked about in my message, and then I sort of mentioned it a little bit in my Passover message, but I talked about Malachi's prophetic message to Israel and how he was announcing a life of new life to Israel that would come, and we know that it came approximately 400 years later. But he was announcing it prophetically to the people of Israel, to the children of Israel, and he was announcing the coming of Messiah. And so I want this morning, this is my sort of show and tell message this morning, because the Hebrew language, it's truly God's language. And we see that, and we know that because of the way that God created every little letter and every number and how they relate and interrelate with the plan of redemption. And so, listen, our language doesn't do, English doesn't do that. Our letters don't correspond really with anything. They're letters of the alphabet. And what they do is when you put them together, they create words. But the English language, the Hebrew language is something very, very special. And it is because it is, let's just say there's something supernatural about the language. God did create it. And I believe that it was the language that even Adam and Eve spoke. They had to speak something. And I believe it was the Hebrew language. That's just me personally. Let's not make a whole theological thing about it here and go crazy. But the thing is, this is what I believe. And so even the letters and the numbers have this significance throughout the scriptures, and they should have significance in our lives, and they certainly have significance in Jewish thought. Jewish thought yesterday and even today. And so just a couple of examples this morning. First of all, let's look at the numbers. We know that the number 7, we know that the number is God's number. We know that it is the number of completion. We know that it's the divine number. And 3, because is also a number of God. But we know specifically that number 7, it is a very divine number. It's a special number. It is a complete number. It's completeness. And we know that Shabbat is called Shabbat. One of the reasons is because of Shabbat, because the number 7, and so Shabbat, the word Shabbat not only means hello, goodbye, peace, but it means complete, and it means completeness. And so we know that the number 7 is very significant there. And then we know number 8, because it's the number right after 7, we know that it is a number of new beginnings. And it is new beginnings. If you will, it's the eighth day. So it's the first day of the next week. It is a new beginning of a new week. And so number 8 is pictures new beginning, the thought of new beginning. And so the numbers correspond with the Hebrew letters. And so, for instance, you know, the Aleph is the first letter, and it corresponds with the number 1, and the Bet, or the Vet, depending if the little dot is in there or not, it's the second letter of the 22 Hebrew letters, but it corresponds with number 2. And so the first 10 letters of the Aleph Bet, by the way, is how we get our word alphabet. So Aleph Bet is the first 10 letters correspond with the numbers 1 through 10. And then the next 9 letters will correspond with the values of 20, 30, 40, 50, right up to 100. Okay? So we have this wonderful, by the way, sometimes people say, oh, that's a Kabbalah. No, you know, Kabbalah has taken this and they've taken the understanding of God's connection with numbers and letters, and then they've taken it for themselves, and so when it's presented to people, they say, oh, that's Kabbalah, or Kabbalah, it's mysticism, it's not. They are using it, but it doesn't mean that it isn't God's, and I'm going to use a good example here this morning. The rainbow is God's symbol to promise the world that he will never again flood and destroy the people on the earth with a great flood like that. But the gay community uses the rainbow as their symbol. So when we see a rainbow, oh, it doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's God's. They took it, if you will. They stole it, if you will. So the thing is, it's a rainbow, though. And so it is God's rainbow. It was originally his. He did give it to man, but someone has taken it for themselves. So in the same sense, looking at the numbers and looking at the alphabet and the alphabet and the letters and everything and the significance, it's not Kabbalah. It's God's, but they have used it in their teachings, okay? Just to sort of put that aside here. And so here's a basic understanding. Let's look at the first slide here, and if I could sort of... So here's, and this is a wonderful... And so then we see not only do words have a name, or they mean, but they mean something. This is a great picture. And here it is, because the word Av, Aleph, Beit, or Veit, is Av, and it's father. Now, we say Abba, and Abba really is a sort of a term of endearment. It's almost like daddy when we say Abba. But Av is the actual formal name for father, Av. Well, Aleph, the letter Aleph, it's the first letter of the alphabet. It's the number one, numero uno. So what it is it signifies the leader or the head. And Beit, because of its picture of the Beit was a picture of a house. It's the wall, it's the roof, and it's the wall, and it's the floor, and it's the opening of the house. And so the Beit, the letter, in the picture of letters, it signifies a house. So when you put the word, the letters Aleph and Bet together, what do you get? You get the leader of the house. The father is supposed to be the head of the household. That's by God. The father is supposed to be the head of the household. Okay? And so, just as an example of how we see how letters connect in their meaning. Okay, so we have the eighth letter of the alphabet, the Aleph Bet, and it's the Chet. And let's look at the Chet here. And this is a Chet. It, you know, if you know the letter Hey, it's like a Hey, but it's closed up all the way. So this is the Chet, and it has the sound Ch. It's the sound that most Gentiles can't say, by the way. All right? It's the Ch. It's the Ch. And so that's the Chet. And so because every letter has a picture, that the Chet is, let's look at the next one, and here's the picture. It's the doorway, or actually the opening of the, of you know, with the two sides and the top, because that's the pit. Flip it back again, and then again. And see, so there's the picture. They put a little light underneath just to show that there's a, you know, something that the door is on, but the Chet, so the Chet really, it shows us actually the, okay, so the word is choma, and choma is like a wall, a partition, but it's the understanding that that is the doorway, or the door frame, the door. And so on Passover, and we're showing it here with some blue smearing on it, but on Passover, they applied the blood onto the door, and it was the last time they went through that door in Egypt, and then they started their trek through the wilderness to the promised land. This, through that door, through the Chet, was the beginning of a new life. And so I talked, actually, and that was my message a couple of weeks ago, about new life. And this is sort of maybe an extension of the message a little bit. So God gave them this new life, but what they did with the new life was up to them. See, and it's the same with us. Through Messiah, Yeshua, God gives you a new life. What you choose to do with it is your choice. It's up to you. God's not going to twist your arm and make you do things, but we have free choice, and because God gave us free choice, and so we can make that choice in our own lives. So let's try to make good choices in our lives when God does give us through the blood of Messiah a new life, a new life. And so the letter Chet is also, let's go to the next one, I think, yes. And so the letter Chet is the first letter of the word with Chet and Yud. It's Chai. And Chai is life. It's life. So it's, I mean, the Yud is the hand. Yad, you know, we have Yad, it's the word Yad, and so the Yud is pictured by the hand. So by that doorway, there is life. Now, surely, people may not be able to connect to that today, but for Israel, through that doorway, they did receive life. And so when we say it's life, you know, it's not just like to life, l'chaim. You know, it's life. Yes, it's life, but it is a special life. It's a new life because Israel went through and they had a new life. So it's not just that we're toasting or something, l'chaim, with a glass of wine, and we're toasting and saying to life, but it really should be more significant than that because it should be to new life. To new life, not just to life, not just that you wake up the next morning and praise God, you're still breathing and your heart is still pumping and the feet can touch the ground, but it is new life. And that's really, I think, what new life is, what we should really understand, because it is important for all of us and it should be important for all of Israel that we all received new life. And it's by the hand of God that we receive new life. Not just that he created us, but he allows us to continue and to exist. This is God's grace and mercy, people. Because no matter what we've done in our life, just like Israel, when they built the golden calf, he has given us a chance to have and experience new life. No matter how bad our sins have been, sometimes we don't even like to think about people that have been sinned very, very bad, but they are all given through the blood of Messiah. They are all given that chance of new life. And it is only by the hand of God, because it is through the hand of God that has allowed Yeshua to come and die and shed his blood for our sins. And so that is grace and mercy, the greatest picture of grace and mercy that we have, certainly for the last 2,000 years. And it gives us all that wonderful opportunity for a new beginning for each and every one of us in our life through Messiah Yeshua. As we read in the Brit Hadashah that we are applying the blood of Messiah on the doorposts of our heart. The connection there by the writers of the Brit Hadashah, they understood Passover. They were all Jewish men. They all understood this. They understood the beginnings, the new beginnings, the new life, putting the blood on the doorposts. And so they made the connection that through Messiah, with Messiah Yeshua shed blood, we put it on the doorposts of our hearts, and it allows us to experience a new and wondrous life. This is a new beginning for each and every one of us. And it's meant to be more than just what we say, now we have had a new beginning. You know, and I've said this before, people should understand. They really should understand to the day, maybe not the hour, but to the day when they've accepted the Lord, when they've asked God to forgive them of their sins and they've repented of their sins and they accept Yeshua as their Messiah, as their Savior. They should remember the day, because far too many people, you know, they say, oh, I was brought up in the church, I went with my parents, you know, and so somehow they feel through osmosis they get saved because their parents were believers, whatever. But it doesn't work that day. We all have to come to that understanding in our lives, that realization that we need to do it for us individually. Yeah. And so that moment that we do that, it's really more than just a moment in time. It's a change forever. It's not just that moment that's significant. It is significant, but what is really just as important is what we do after that moment for the rest of our lives. Because that is, the reality is, the journey, that's when it begins, people. That's when it really begins, because that's when God starts working on your heart, leading you through the hills and the valleys, guiding you, helping you in your life, allowing you to mature, allowing you to understand Him, allowing you to grow closer to Him. So it's not just that moment in time that we make that decision, but that is the beginning of the journey for each and every one of us as we go through that door. And so this morning, this is my hope, that people will use this time. And maybe sometimes people say, you know what, I keep holding on to that day when I accepted the Lord, but I haven't done much anything else with it. If it is the new beginning, then the journey begins then. And it's time for us to move on and to grow, get closer and closer to the Lord. And so this morning, this is my hope, this is my prayer, that each of us, including me and my family, that we would continue on with this journey, because we have some years to go. We're sort of in our wilderness right now, but the Lord is always with us, just the way the Lord was always with Israel through the wilderness. But we're through our journey. We're through our wilderness right now. We have not yet reached the promised land. And so let's make every day a significant day. Let's make every day a blessing for each and every one of us as we get closer and closer to that time where we will one day enter God's everlasting kingdom. So Lord, I ask this morning that these words, they'll have great meaning to each and every one of us. I know as I wrote the message this morning, just it allowed me to look at myself and my own life. And so I would hope that these words this morning will have great meaning for each and every one of our people this morning, everyone that hears this here, maybe everyone that hears this on the web, on our, you know, as we send this recording out. I hope that everyone would use these to build and continue and build and build this relationship with the Lord until His ultimate return. We praise you, Lord. We thank you, Father, in Yeshua's name. We all pray, amen and amen. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.